This is the Press Conference Podcast, episode 70, mixtape 27. My name's Dave, and I'm here with my co-host Phil.
How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very good. Excited about this episode this week. Just been excited about life.
Yeah. This is a long one coming. We put a little work into getting this one organized, and I'm really glad with how it came out.
Yeah, I think it came really, really fast, obviously. Finding time with a lot of these bands isn't easy, especially with touring life and writing music and time differences and everything. But yeah, really glad that we got this chat out. We recorded this one about a week ago now.
Yeah, a week ago.
A week or two ago. So finally getting this one out, which feels good. Yeah, if you can't tell by the description of this episode, today we caught up with Aston and Daniel from Towns. Nice little two-piece from Adelaide.
Yeah, this was a great chat. Enjoy the banter. Go off some little tangents as well, which was always fun. And we get a good insight into the band's influences and how they think about their music.
Yeah, thanks heaps to both Aston and Daniel for coming on. We absolutely love this chat. We hope you enjoy it too. So yeah, cue that smash and let's get this going.
Let's go.
So, we're joined by Dan and Aston from Towns. How are you all doing?
Hello. Pretty awesome. Thanks for having us. We're here. We're doing it. We're making it happen.
I'm still awesome. So jealous that it's so sunny over there in Adelaide right now.
Yeah, the trees. Yeah. We've got this thing called daylight savings. I don't know if that Melbourne's got that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just Brisbane that doesn't have it, maybe.
Yeah.
But we're saving the daylight. Let me tell you.
It's good.
It's because Brisbane wants the sun to go down ASAP.
Yeah, they're like, hey, it's fucking hot. Can we just call this?
Yeah.
Too warm right now. No air cons.
So you guys just got back from a run of shows with Hot Mulligan, I believe. How was that?
We only did the one show.
Okay.
It was just for Adelaide, yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a last minute thing. It was just, I don't know. It was so weird. I think they might have had this conception. I mean, it's a fair preconception that Adelaide doesn't sell tickets. So they put a local on, but before we were even on, they'd sold 700 tickets. So they didn't need us at all. So
yeah. Wow. But it was a fun show and a good opportunity. And they're sick. It's so wild to just see how many people were there and just loving it.
I remember they had a tour booked, I think in between COVID maybe. And they were playing the Workers Club in Melbourne, which is a tiny room.
And it
got cancelled because they couldn't sell tickets. and then obviously COVID happened all these years later. They announced this show and nearly all the dates are nearly sold out. It's absolutely incredible.
That is insane. I can't believe that. That's such a change up, especially going from Workers Club to then just being like, oh yeah, we'll just sell a few hundred tickets. Let's go.
Yeah.
I was meaning to ask, where was the show in Adelaide? Because it was outdoors, right?
It was at Unibar, but usually it's an indoor venue. But I think whenever bands sell over capacity, they open up the outside, and I think it goes to about 1,000 cap or 900 roughly. Something. Yeah,
that's huge. That's
yeah, cool. It was rad. Yeah. It was packed, but not squishy in a negative way. It was just you could still get from one side to the other, which is you like that freedom to be able to pee whenever you want.
Yeah.
I heard a story. Didn't he get on stage saying that he pissed a lot or something at the start of the show? Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I missed that bit completely.
I read it on one of the forum pages saying that apparently, yeah, anyways, I don't want to talk about Hot Mulligan taking a piss before the show.
That's cool though. I feel like I didn't wee the whole night. I feel like the toilets are so around. They're not in the venue. They're you have to go out. Side and then down a set of stairs, and so if he pissed, good on him. That means he found the toilets, or didn't. Maybe.
I'm so sorry, Dave, for hijacking this. Talking about taking a piss.
It's fine. So, how'd you guys become a band? So we kind of read a little bit of a history about you guys, and that you guys were in a hardcore band before you were in Towns.
Yeah.
Or started Towns, I should say. And then how did you land on the musical direction that you guys have now?
Oh, far away, Aston. I reckon that's a better one for you.
we essentially met on our first day of uni. Just like both sat next to each other, just both saw two like emo-ish looking people, and kind of they just gravitated, and we sort of just started talking about music, and then the like connections went on and on and on, and it started with like a few bands, and there's like more and more deep cuts that we found out we both really connected with, and some more like obscure bands that we were like, oh, you like them too? And then yeah, for like a few years we were just friends who loved music, and then Dan ended up joining a band with my friends as a drummer, but I didn't want to play heavy music, and then I just got FOMO, and then I was like, oh, I'll play. So I ended up joining as well, and then yeah, we did a few, like maybe like 2 years of that, and you know, we played some really cool shows, but I feel like, you know, the people in that band with us like definitely just wanted to hang out and drink, and we were like, oh, we can do that anytime, but we want to play music. And they were like, oh, okay, yeah, we just wanted to hang out. And I was like, oh, we want to do both. So yeah, Dan and I would usually stick around after practice and just keep writing songs. And I think we always sort of, we love heavy music, and that's what we sort of grew up on, like punk stuff, but we sort of always wanted to have something with a bit more singing and like melody and stuff to it. So we started writing songs, and then we just thought, let's do a band. And then we just kept playing. And yeah, it was a pretty natural, just like, hey, here's an idea. And we just jammed it for hours.
Yeah. I think it was only a two-piece, because we like, before the hardcore band, we kept trying to like do music stuff together, and we were like, yeah, we just can't find the right members for the band. And so eventually we're like, oh wait, we can do just us. That's crazy.
That would have been a huge adjustment, I feel, because there aren't many two-pieces. I mean, I can't think of another two-piece, or maybe a few bands actually, but they've got members. But still, like a two-piece, did you find it hard trying to write songs and I guess be able to play all the parts and find the melodies and things that you wanted with just two of you?
I mean, I didn't. I just kept playing the drums, but Aston probably struggled.
No, I found it easier. I guess there's like that thing where you have to, if you're writing something like melodic or rhythmic, you sort of need to get everyone's input. But these days I just needed to turn to Dan and be like, do you like it? And if Dan goes, yeah, then I'm like, cool, that's the song. Like it's less cooks in the kitchen sort of thing. But yeah, it was actually easier as soon as we established that we were just going to play the two of us. Like songs just like came like vomiting out of us, and it was so much easier because there was less roadblocks, less people to please.
Yeah.
I guess there's less friction with less people to kind of throw their ideas into their hat, or kind of push their egos ahead of yours, or ideas get in the way and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. We make up the friction enough for five people, for sure.
Yeah.
We make it happen.
And then I guess when you are writing songs, is it just you jamming until you figure out what works, or do you both kind of have ideas and come together, or how does that generally work?
Yeah, a bit of both actually. Like, I feel like when we first started, like I like would have like a whole song kind of done, and I'd be like, "Oh, what do you think?" And then I'd make Dan make the drums better, and then
that was the days of using Guitar Pro. Hey,
yeah, and then like I think I still love just writing songs in a room with Dan, like not at a computer. Like I feel like for me, I love being in a room, singing into a mic, playing loud. Like I think that's where I find like my best songs. And but then we also like are really collaborative, and Dan will sit on the computer and show me an idea, and then we'll just keep growing on that. So, I think Dan's really good at the real like tiny picture detail, beautiful little moments in a song. And then I feel like I just love to like step back and like build the frame. So like I'll build the house and Dan will decorate it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it, actually.
I like that.
So, so have you guys like been writing new stuff recently? So the EP came out a couple of years ago now, or like 18 months ago now.
And yeah, it came out way too long ago. Yeah. We're like, we've got so many songs now. We've actually recorded a whole album.
Oh, wow.
And we're just kind of laying it like an egg at the moment, just kind of making sure that it's warm enough, you know. We're not trying to turn it into scrambled eggs. We're trying to turn it into a little chicken. So gotta sit on it for a little bit.
I actually love that. How long have you been sitting on these tracks? Because we've spoken to a few bands now, and some bands have literally written, mastered, done everything within like 6 months, and then you've got other bands that are sitting on it for years. Yeah, what's your kind of feel? Do you like to just get it out, or
It would be nice to just get it out.
Yeah, we want it out. It's not. It's yeah, like if our management and label would allow it, we would probably just like upload it all tomorrow. But obviously, there's a process and a game that we all play, and we're just waiting for our turn. That's all. But we haven't stopped writing. We're definitely already on the way to the next stuff. But yeah, some of these songs have like been with us for a few years. Like I remember one of these songs that's on the album. We probably wrote in like our first 6 to 7 months of being a band, maybe. But yeah, it just like never really went away. It was just like this one that constantly wanted to come back, and we finally got that out of us. But yeah, just want to get it out. It's a good cap off of everything we've done for the last like 5 years.
Mm.
That is wild. Yeah, because you've released plenty of music. I mean, before even the last record, but having a song sit around for that long is cool.
Yeah,
it'll be cool. I think people will know which one it is if they like listen to us from the start. It's probably about the most like, I don't know, the most 2017 towns on it. Yeah,
which is great. I love that stuff. I picked up the Television's.
Oh, hell yeah!
EP with all the songs on there. And,
yeah, sick. Yeah. Thank you.
I love listening through the progression because it's a lot of fun.
It's weird. It felt like it never was like an active thing. Like we're going to do this now. It just kind of naturally happened. And so, yeah, I feel like the album's got a lot of good mix of both on there too, which is really fun for everyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we've kind of looked at, I guess your journey of being a band for so long, I mean, you've played some amazing shows in that time. I know festivals like you're at Yours and Ours last year or the year before. You supported bands like Kiss Chasey recently, that Turnover and Turnstile show, which Dave and I saw, and we were like, that would have been a sick one to be at. And obviously Between You and Me got announced. Is it announced yet, or is it just the, I don't know, if the email's gone out to some people who are on the mailing
list? Yeah, it's announced last week, and it's happening in May.
Do you have favourite shows or any cool stories from some shows that you've played?
So many. Oh, my God. We played Spinoff in 2019. That was pretty huge. Like there was some really like Childish Gambino was on that.
Yeah.
Catfish and the Bottlemen were on that. All Fast were on that. So there was some that was probably our first show with like big artists, but I mean, we also, playing with Turnstile and Turnover is like huge considering where Turnstile are at now, like playing with them at a venue in Adelaide that was like 150 cap, maybe, I don't know, but
it's wild.
Kiss Chasey was a big one though. I think that was like that whole tour felt like a fever dream. Like they're a band. They're one of the first like rock bands I loved growing up, and because they were local, so it was so accessible. I reckon that was, those shows are ones where Dan and I constantly would like go to each other at the end of the night and be like, "What the hell's going on? This is wild." That was a big dream come true. I think everything we do, we add it to the list of we didn't think we could do this. So everything's been really just special thus far. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess coming back, I mean, shows I feel at the moment are more rampant than they've been even before COVID, I think. I feel like there's just so many shows going on. So, I mean, the fact that you're jumping on all these tours, or like the Hot Molly show, even though it's a one-off, it just feels like every show I see you guys popping up on is just bigger than the last.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I was actually at the Kiss Chasey show in Melbourne when you guys did the Blink cover with Bex Stevens and Sean came out on guitar, and
that was, that was definitely like, that was a big moment. One, I feel like I remember just having tears in my eyes, being like, "What is going on? It's crazy." Yeah, especially I think that was that the last show of the tour? I'm pretty sure it was.
It was two corners or three corners. I can't remember, but. Yeah, the whole Adam song idea came about. We were sharing a van with Ben driving up Perth, and the song came on, and you just saw all of us like singing it and talking, and we were like, "Oh, we should cover this." And then we were like, "Nah, but maybe." and then we did it. Yeah, it was that was a real special moment for sure. And in saying that, another special moment was we played Mountain Goat. I actually don't remember what year we played Mountain Goat, like 4 or 5 times, but one we played the last song, we probably had like 30 people like jump on stage, and it was just like chaos, like everything was stepped on. We were playing outside at the Bright Side, and that was like looking around seeing how many people were having fun, like to our song as a soundtrack. I don't know if they're having fun because of us, but having our song be the soundtrack to seeing everyone smile was that was pretty rad.
Yeah, I think that was 2021, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't know, they've piled up now.
Yeah.
Cool. So we recently had a melodic hardcore band on called December from Adelaide on, and they were talking about the scene and stuff like that. So how do you guys find the scene in Adelaide for you guys? Because it's kind of a different sound that you guys have to them.
Oh, I'd say it's Adelaide's definitely got like a lot of different bands, which is really sick. We recently, our friend Ripley organizes this. This thing called the Sickest 100 in Adelaide, and like just hearing the sheer amount of bands on that was just like there's so many bands, and I feel like you forget how many bands there actually are, and like listening to the countdown was like, holy shit, like there's so many good bands, and there's so many of them that I just like hadn't even scratched the surface on. And so I feel like it's a very diverse type of music scene we got here, and even if you know, like even if you think you know everyone, you never do. And I find it's pretty supportive. It's like a really nice, like everyone's always really supportive, and especially like Cranker Wednesdays. They're always like a nice time, heaps of cool bands going and stuff like that. It was gone for a little while as well. Now it's back with a vengeance. And so it's cool. The scene's constantly evolving and it's constantly supportive. I don't know. What do you reckon, Aston?
I feel like growing up for me in Adelaide, it was you either like heavy music or you like not heavy music. That's how I saw it. It was like you were at a heavy show or like a not heavy show. But that has sort of since dissipated a little bit into just like everyone goes to everything and they love everything, and which is really, really cool. Adelaide, I feel like, has a lot of like really cool bands. Like there's lots of bands that I'm like, I watch them and I'm like, that's cool. Like you're very cool. So like that's a real honor to have here. But then, we've got everyone's so supportive. It's not clicky. It's just, everyone just supports everyone and plays each other's shows, and we have our own little thing here. It's kind of nice. But Adelaide's we came up at a time where there was just so many bands starting and you just wanted to play with everyone, and that was it.
I was actually meaning to ask about that, because obviously Dave and I really we went through COVID on the East Coast. We've never really spoken to people who were on the, I guess, the West Coast or in Adelaide, because your restrictions weren't as intense as ours. I mean, as a band that kind of started a few years before COVID, what did that stunt what you were doing, or how did that work for you both?
Definitely did. Like I don't know. The restrictions wise, we definitely weren't like as bad as you in terms of like leaving the house, but, I remember like we shot a music video on COVID, and I remember feeling, we felt so like illegal, and like my partner was like, don't do it, don't do it. And I was like, nah, we got to shoot a video. But so we made things happen, but, it was just like, it was just, Adelaide's already got a small thing to it. So when you take away the little avenues it has, it's really sad. There was a few venues that like Rocket Bar, ripped out their stage and just did DJs now. And then, like I think lots of venues saw that suffering of no live music, because Adelaide has pretty limited venues as it is. Those venues are always booked out, but in saying that, when those aren't an option, it makes it a bit tricky. So we definitely didn't have it as bad as Melbourne or even Sydney to an extent, but we still felt this thing.
There's the no dancing thing, which like was so fucked. Yeah, I think it was like for 2 years straight we just couldn't dance, and so every show that everyone played was like a sit down show. And it was like that. I feel like it was 2 years straight. Maybe just one. I don't know.
Yeah, about a year and a half or so. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And it was just really awkward. Like, we watched our friends Pinkish Blue play their last show, and that was a sit down show. And it was just it was so whack, just like not being able to just stand up and celebrate and dance.
Oh, I think.
Yeah.
We might have lost it.
Yeah. I keep dropping out. My internet keeps dying.
Oh, what's going on?
I turned my Wi-Fi off. I was like, I'm going straight to cellular.
Yeah, God, I need to.
It's quicker than my Wi-Fi, so.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, those seated shows, yeah, they're like, you know, like it's, I don't know, sitting down is fine, but I think like for a band, you know, like you kind of, you do need to feed off that energy that people are smiling and having a good time, and you know, everyone's sitting down and looking like they're, you know, at church or at an assembly. It's not, it's not very like, it doesn't really pump you up to like give it your best. So yeah, you try, but eventually it was hitting a point of like, man, this is really hard, but it's sort of back now. I think there's like probably 99% there. There's 1% still to go, but yeah.
I went to one acoustic show. And a sitting show, and the band last minute decided to go acoustic with it. I thought that worked pretty well.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Then when we were slowly starting to open, I don't know if you know, Stuck Out, they're a pop punk band from Melbourne. They released an EP, and their EP show, they decided to go acoustic. But I think 2 hours before the show, the government announced we didn't have to have seated gigs anymore. But they already prepped for this acoustic show. Ended up being, they took all the seats away, but there was like 20 people there. it was the weirdest gig I've ever been to. But
Man.
I think we're nearly back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's plenty of shows happening. The crowds are going fairly wild from what I can tell. So,
yeah. I'll tell you what, no one knew who their health minister was before 2020. So,
no. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone became a politician in 2020 and was following everything.
Dude, yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, those daily news conferences.
Yeah,
everyone would be waiting for 11. Oh, they were the worst. I hated them.
So bad. I know. It's a better time, sort of.
That does give me PTSD the more I think about it. So
yeah.
All right. So should we jump into the playlist?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a great playlist, by the way. I really enjoyed the tracks you guys sent through. Good, real mix. So the first one is Foo Fighters' Monkey Wrench.
Yeah.
So whose pick was that?
I feel like all the songs on the list is pretty collaborative.
It's pretty towns, that playlist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, for like the first single we're releasing off this album, we sort of wrote it around a similar time as we went on tour with Betty Ray's and Baker's Eddie. So a lot of these songs sort of came out of that tour and those moments together. So they all sort of linked to that tour in some moment, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can definitely hear, like listening through all the songs, we'll talk to those ones a little bit later, the kind of the things you grab from them in some way or similarities that you guys hold with those bands.
Yeah.
Well, let's play Monkey Wrench, and then we'll play another one. We'll come back on the other side.
All this time to make a man. Everybody's
right. So at the top there, we played Monkey Wrench by Foo Fighters. Then we had 40 Ounce on Repeat by Fiddler. I think one thing I've noticed with these tracks, they're just a lot of fun. Is that something that you think of when you selected these, or is it something a bit more?
I think we're both pretty like immediate people when we listen to songs. Like, I mean, we've definitely written songs where like it does like build or like grow, but we also just like, I think our passion and our love for music comes from just immediacy. So Monkey Wrench being a song that just like kicks you in the guts, like straight away, like that was something we definitely wanted to try on this album. When we did it a few times where we just brought the energy to 10 as soon as we could. And then, yeah, like same as Fiddler, like they just have so much energy and dynamic to them. And I think, yeah, they just all, both those songs are just like, I don't know, they're just loud guitar songs, which is rad. And I mean, I just love loud guitars and I love loud drums and all that energy. So yeah, if I can have everything louder, I would. I love having the stage volume loud, music in the car loud. Volume is everything for me. So, but yeah, I think also like, it sounds funny. I remember when we were writing the first single we are going to release, it started off as a joke song about drinking and drugs. And like, I don't know, I don't want to say the words because they're a bit silly, but it was just me talking about like doing a bunch of different drugs and being at a party and drinking till I was part, like stuff that we don't really do. Like we're not
right.
Drug and get fucked up. I mean, effed up. Oh, no. No, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine.
It's all
fine.
Good. It's all good.
We're not like, you know, people, party power people. I don't know. But the idea is that that energy went into this new song we wrote, but then we just kind of swapped the words. But the energy is there, and it was inspired purely from those, like, party rock songs. So that's why Fiddler's in there for sure.
I mean... I'm yet to see you both play, so that's why I'm itching for this Between You and Me show, because I think when you were in Sydney for the Kiss Chasey leg, I was in Melbourne. I think I just hasn't worked out. But every time I hear stories from our friendship group, I feel your live show just feels like a lot of fun. And even when you're not playing songs, it just is like this high energy. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys did the slam poetry as well. I keep hearing about that story.
Yeah, we did.
That was in Perth, eh?
Yeah, I think no one, like, when we were at band school, like, no one told us that you're not supposed to, like, talk as much as we do between songs. Like, for some reason, we feel like, we need to fill the air with just our conversation and thoughts, and, like, there's no filter, and sometimes it's really good, and then sometimes it's not, and it's so funny. Whenever, like, we say something relatively funny, people will be like, oh, did you script that? I was like, no, if it was scripted, we'd write better stuff. Like, we wouldn't just, like, it's,
yeah.
We're, like, talking about foot fetishes and, you know, wee breaks. And we talk, I don't know, anything that comes to our mind just comes out. And it's very personal for us, but it's very public as well at the same time.
So. Yeah, the foot fetishes are very personal, yeah.
Yeah, but that's our thing. And we shouldn't share that with people, but we have to.
I'm going to take it back to the TikTok that you guys put out the other, was it last week? And you were naming the Blink songs. I was surprised there wasn't a Blink song on the list, to be honest, because
there was
the banter, the energy.
There was, but that had just come out, and then like that video, and then we wanted to put like 5 Blink songs in there, but then I was like, oh, I don't want people to think that all we do is listen to Blink. I mean, like, I love Blink a lot, obviously, but...
I think they were your top artists last year as well.
Oh, they've been my top artist for the last, like, 5 years. Like, I don't know, they just have this hold over me. I don't know what it is. Just Blink and Blink adjacent music, like Plus 44 and all those side bands they did. But I tried to show that we listen to other things too, so...
No, I love it. And the banter was great at the Melbourne show as well. And it's so cool that you can just show your personality not just through your music, but you can be yourselves through the banter in between songs. Cause that's the stuff that brings people back is you don't want to be too serious. And like I say it all the time, it's like, as long as you're having fun, the experience is going to be a lot more enjoyable for everyone.
For
Could not agree more.
Yeah. I feel like we couldn't be serious to save our lives. I feel like if we were held at gunpoint, we'd be laughing. Like it was like year seven camp or something. We'd be like...
Yeah, it's just like people join bands so they don't have to be serious. Like people play music so they can just hang out and have fun. Like, yeah, I think me and Dan always say the second it's not fun, we don't know what we're doing. So,
I need to ask a question. Has there ever been time you've gone on stage talking about whatever and it really hasn't hit? It's been really awkward or not quite?
There was that time. We played in Sydney once for this PWA wrestling event. Yeah. And we played like pretty much at the entrance of a wrestling ring. And like no one there was like a Towns fan. Like they weren't like there for us. It was obviously they were there for the wrestling and we just played a few songs. But I was trying to like make this joke about Sydney saying, you know what I've never heard? F Sydney. And then I think all people heard was F Sydney, like just that part. And they were like, oi, oi. And I was like, no, like I was saying that it's great, but it just didn't, that wasn't great. And then we've also done these like emceeing things for a place called Music SA in Adelaide where they like have Cert 3 music graduates. And it's like kids who have like studied this course, this vet course over the last like 6 months or whatever, and they do a performance at the end. And Dan and I like emceed the last three of them as like the hosts. And the first year it was like our first time hosting, which was kind of weird, but because we didn't have the instruments to break up our talking, so we just had to know when to stop. There was definitely a few white old dads in the crowd who just could not crack a smile, and that was really hard. It was just they sat there, arms folded, and eventually we got to the point where we were like pointing at them and trying to crack them, but they don't crack.
Nah, they don't crack.
I'd pay to see that. the next track we have is Sober Coaster by Betty's Ray. Betty Ray's, sorry, not Betty's Ray. I mean, you played a tour with those guys. What was that like?
Yeah. Amigo, you go.
Yeah. It was just sick. I think it was, we'd previously met them. I think we even met Jacko at a show we did in Brisbane. Now,
yeah, we played, was it Black Bear Lodge?
Yeah.
And he came up there. Yeah.
And just said, I remember being like, he looked familiar, and I was like, you look familiar, and it was really lovely. And then, just like fast forward years later or something, and just being on the tour with them was just like, just felt like being at home. It just felt like hanging out with all your high school mates. Like, they were as equally silly, they were as equally lovely, and like, the tour itself was fucking sick as well. All the venues were great.
Yeah, like, it was all the fans such were sick. An easy tour, like so like stress-free, like no egos at all. There was not a single ego on that tour. There was like fake joking egos where like they would like tell us to clean up their mess. And then they'd all come in 2 minutes later being, no, sorry, we were just joking. Like, obviously don't do it. And we were like, we'll do it. It's all right. But that tour, like everyone was from such different backgrounds, like Baker's Eddie, us and Betty Ray's, like such, you know, different states, different like upbringings and stuff. But like, that was just an easy teenage camp of a tour. And we sort of like hearing those songs every night, they sort of become part of you and things like that. So yeah, it's definitely why it's on here for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Wish we could tour, Phil.
No. We are not musically inclined at all.
Yeah, so we don't have to play music. We could just tour.
Be a TM. There you go. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Actually.
Maybe one day.
Maybe.
We'll take a podcast on tour, you know? Only a matter of time.
Yeah, we should actually.
Yeah.
We tried doing a, we had some mates put on a house show in Melbourne. And we thought, what it would be a good idea to record some interviews from a spare room in the house. So we're trying to interview. Look, it was all right, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Just wrangling people and they're doing sound check on the other side of a plaster wall.
I was going to say, it would have been loud, eh?
It was so loud.
It actually worked out all right. Now, there were these small interviews, like little five to 7 minute chats. But
cool next time we do that, though. Yeah.
We'll have to.
Yeah.
I think we'll be better next time. But anyways, let's load up Sober Coaster, and then we'll play another and we'll talk about them on the other side.
Will you be someone I'll leave? be there when I'm 25? Or are you someone that I'll leave behind? We can talk this over. So call me, cause I've been trying to find. Where will I be when I'm 25? Will you be someone I'll leave behind? We can talk this over. So call me.
Okay, so at the top there we had Betty Ray's with Sober Coaster and Baker's Eddie with Sober. They're two very similar.
That's what I was getting messed up before, because I'm trying to say it. I'm reading all these words.
What's so funny is that they both have songs called On My Own as well. And they also accidentally had, I'd say, 85% the same logo on a t-shirt at one point.
Oh, dude, like it was the so same fucking font. Close.
So funny.
I think it was on the tour.
Yeah, that became a pretty running joke on the tour that they were just copying each other.
Yeah.
Mm.
But were they selling the merch on the same tour?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. It was pretty awful. But I remember I'd always mess it up. I'd always go like,
Bedakey, Razy, D's, Eddie.
Yeah. It was Beggy Rags.
Are you sure they're not just one band and they're just split off? Did you see them all in the same room at the same
time?
We
did. It was like sometimes missing members, you know, it's a bit hazy there, but for the most part,
I think they're just such representations of their country, both of those bands. Like they're such, like Betty Ray's are so Australian, and then
they're so Baker's like Queensland Eddie, Australian.
Yeah, and then Betty Ray, did it again. Baker's Eddie being from New Zealand, like they're always in their jackets and like rugged up, and then Betty Ray would be in footy shorts and a tank top every day. Like it was just, polar opposites, but so similar at the same time.
Mm. I didn't realize they were from New Zealand. I saw them play with, I think, Young Lions once. I just thought they were a local band.
True.
That blows my mind. I had no idea.
They've been in Melbourne for about 8 years. Yeah.
Oh, but okay.
Yeah, that so like, sense. Yeah, definitely. But they've also been a band together since they were...
Like been a 10 band or something,
about, hey? Yeah, like probably even 12, like 11 or 12 since they were really, really young. But yeah, that having them on the tour as well, like they're some of our best friends in the world, like love them so much. So that was a dream come true. We've always hung out, but we've never got to like tour together that close. So that was like so sick. And I had to put them both on the list for sure, because having two songs about sober and Sober Coaster and drinking and partying, and that's the thing, I genuinely like love that energy. It's just I feel like when you're not writing a song that's honest to like you as a person, it comes across very obvious, you know what I mean? Like so hence why we took all the energy of these party songs and just made it about something that we like to whinge about, which is growing up. So
I've got to ask, because, I mean, this is not quite about these two bands, but just about playing shows interstate. Obviously, Adelaide, hometown, I'm assuming shows would be quite big there. Do you have, a state that you go to that kind of surprises you every time in regards to crowds and things?
Oh, man.
I reckon the first time we played in Brisbane, we were surprised. Like,
yeah,
we, for sure. Or the second or third time, whatever, like, weirdly enough, Brisbane was, the first state to kind of take us in, I guess, kind of thing. And so for ages it was like almost as big as what Adelaide is for us. I think Melbourne soon followed. I don't know.
Yeah, also Wollongong feels a lot like home in a way. Just like the fact it's a small sort of town has like the essence of Adelaide, and then just so many good Wollongong bands and just venues and iconic sort of music moments. For a while there, we were pretty much a Brisbane band. We were played in Brisbane so much. But, Adelaide's always going to have our heart. But it was really cool. Like, on Saturday playing with Hot Mulligan, there were so many people there who we haven't met before or haven't seen us before, because they're not really in the local scene. They were sort of, they just love the bands that they love online, and that's super fine. Those fans thrive in a different way to the local music fans, I guess. But it was cool to try and bridge that gap and, introduce them to, I guess, a local band that's really close to them. So if they did love it, then they can see us for $10 if they want.
That's so good. I mean, we always talk about there are so many people in the scene. You go to festivals or big bands will come over and there are all these people, and then you know, a local show, like I was at one on Saturday and I'm thinking there's only like 50 people there, which is fine. Yeah. I mean, but still it feels weird that there are all these people that like this music.
Love music.
That's cool. I suppose it's a hard one with, like, especially money is so tight for everyone at the moment. And so when everyone's like saving up their pennies for the big, like, international acts coming through, I feel like it's so wild. I feel like everyone just kind of, it's like you lift a rock and all these bugs kind of crawl out. It's like that for the, when you're at a show with heaps of people, you're like, what the fuck? Didn't even know any of yous were here.
I think it's got something to do with streaming a little bit as well, because like playlisting is a thing. So the big bands get on playlists and that's what people find. Well, I think like without streaming, or before, like before streaming was a thing, you'd be talking to your friends more about music that you're listening to. I don't think that's happening as much, unfortunately. And it's like what we're basically trying to do is trying to spread the word about these bands that we really love and and trying to help people get that reach and get that awareness.
Yeah, it's super important. Yeah. It's always I love that whole conversation of every band you love, actually, except those nepotism ones, but every band you love was a local band at some point, you know, like you know, Foo Fighters played to two people for a little bit there. Like, just that's just how it is. Like, it's but you gotta water the The grass is greener where you water it. That's it.
That's the one. It's also lyrics in a Justin Bieber song.
Is it really?
Yeah. As long as you love me. As long as you love me, we could be planning. We could be gold.
That's so good.
He's right there. It's my boy Justice.
It's not on that album though.
Doesn't matter. He's right next to me. That was the last record I was listening to.
Oh, have you got a bit of a record collection yourself? I can kind of see a few on the right, I think.
There's this stuff there.
Very nice.
It's like, it's
not, like you've cut down, but
it's like 250 at the moment.
That's heaps. That's a lot.
That's good.
Yeah. I just love the idea of having an album I like love physically.
Yeah.
It's cool. Because then you just reach in and they're all good. It's great.
I'm going to derail a bit here, because usually when we haven't had bands on, we've had like friends from the scene or label friends and things, and we always talk to them about their favorite music. If you both could pick like a record, your favorite album, what would it be? Yeah, have a look.
Like this is an obvious one.
Very like, nice.
Just nothing will ever sound like this ever again. Like, I don't care.
It's Blink self-titled for the people listening.
Yeah, sorry. I forget they can't see. This one is there. Blink self-titled is an obvious one.
Yeah.
But I think, hang on, see if I can find it.
Oh, that's fucking hell hard, hey?
I don't even have a copy of that. I can never find it. Just.
Well, they repressed it again.
I still can't see it. I can't find any stores, and I'm over that ship in life.
Yeah.
I feel you. It's hard.
I've got so many, dude. Panic at the Disco's first album is magic.
Dude, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, this one really connected me and Dan, their first album.
Nice.
I also think that some people might not know that this album inspires Towns a lot. Paramore, self-titled.
Very cool.
Just a lot of the things they do on it are really inspiring to us. But I think my favorite record of the last like 10 years is probably Skinty Fear by Fontaine DC.
Ooh, nice.
I reckon.
Cool.
Nice. That's an OG press of that Paramore record too, I'm pretty sure. It's worth a
bit. Oh, really? Yes, because the cover's changed.
They've changed the cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the cover's the back of it now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Better
cover, to be fair.
Yeah.
I reckon another one that really bonded us as well was Sempaternal by Bring Me.
Oh, very good.
Shed by Tidal Fight.
Oh,
huge one.
Classic.
Dude, so many records that, I could go on forever. The Dangerous Summer.
Right.
Reach for the Sun. It's another favorite of mine.
So many. I love, like, The Ghost Inside Returners is, like, one of my, like, all-time favorites in, like, especially hardcore kind of thing. That was a massive album for me.
I'm hanging for that to come on vinyl.
Dude, yeah. I feel like there's so many. Oh, Aston, what did you get? You got the used first album on vinyl a little while ago.
Oh, yeah, the used self-titled.
Self-titled.
Yeah,
it's a huge one.
There's a good theme here with self-titled records, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I'm noticing
yeah.
that. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I wonder if we just name our album self-titled, would it automatically be good?
Yeah, yes. It'll like elevate the quality of the songs would be like, oh, it's all right. But as soon as we put the word like self-titled on there, it'd be like, oh, the best album I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, the Modern Baseball, that Gonna Miss It All, that album's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, huge. Yeah, we could go on all day, especially because I'm looking at it all.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's how Dave and I became friends, actually. We met because we were just in a vinyl forum and I was looking for Hope by Dream on Dreamer.
Massive! Yeah!
It wasn't easy to get, and people do sell it for a bit. And this guy messaged me saying, hey, I'll give you a copy for like $40. Bought it, and then we ended up in a group chat with just some friends of friends a few months later. And I was like, you're that dude who didn't fuck me over on a price for that record. And then...
hey, huge respect, Dave.
Yeah. 4 years later, we're still mates.
Wow. That's rad. That's so good.
So nice.
Yeah, I'm still actually hunting down. I feel like, I don't know if this counts, but I reckon my favorite records is just every soundtrack that Tony Hawk's had. Like those.
Yeah.
Those, I think those definitely inspired everything for me. That's what started me into shaped it. Yeah, it shaped it. Yeah.
Oh, dude, Guitar Hero 3, that soundtrack, fucking impeccable. I reckon that's one of my all-times, 100%.
You are the second band to bring up Guitar Hero 3's soundtrack in the last week.
It's just like, it's fucking iconic. There's just like so many hits on there, and like, it's such a diverse range of shit, and like, dude, FCP remix, that fucking song alone is just like so huge, and then there's like, Through the Fire and Flames, that was like an internet cultural fucking phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like
the fun fact about Guitar Hero is when Dan was growing up, they only had one guitar, and whenever their brother was playing, Dan had to play on the controller.
Oh, no way.
So Dan still plays on the controller.
No way.
I prefer it, and I can do SCP remix on expert on the controller, but doing chords is hard. Because you have to do it like,
So do you have to strum as well with a button while you're pressing
buttons? No. So imagine, just buttons. Just for those at home.
Piano tiles, but with Xbox.
L2, L1, R1, R2, and then X. So green, L2, red, L1, yellow, R1, blue, R2, orange, X.
That's sick.
And so, like, you just got to fucking go hell for leather. But there's some songs where I have to play it. I used to put it in a shoe and, like, try and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's hell hard. And doing chords is just impossible because you got to, like, click them at the same time. And
you can't time it ever.
Nah, but I'm a controller hero. So if you find anyone else as a controller hero, I'll happily take them on.
They need to bring back Guitar Hero, I reckon. I reckon it's time.
Yeah.
Like, need it. I thought they renewed the patent for it last year. Yeah.
Hey.
Well, I know Fortnite now have, and this is getting completely fucking off topic, but Fortnite have like that Guitar Hero mode, but it's like that with the control. And I absolutely can't. My brain to my fingers just don't work that way.
Yeah, I couldn't do it either.
Ugh. If it's the same controls, I'd love to have a go on that.
Yeah, that's so good.
Where were we?
Where were we?
I don't know, actually.
We're up to the next song, which is Sum 41.
The Hell Song.
Yeah. Absolute banger.
I feel like this one, I feel like this is the one that replaced Blink, because we did have a Blink song in there, and then Asma was like, nah. So I feel like
It was also, I think it's hard, like Blink is the obvious one for us, but also that era of like punk rock music where it was like radio friendly, but like you were still getting this like aggression and like angstiness from it. Yeah. And like just like those fat single note guitar riffs don't happen as much anymore. Like the Offspring did it heaps as well. And just the hooks and stuff, the hooks with such aggressive drums. And I loved that. I loved it. It was just like, it was so cool. And obviously there's like, they had like Good Charlotte, Jimmy Eat World, The Used to an extent, we're getting there with Radio, Fall Out Boy, Blink, like just all those bands from the early to mid 2000s that were writing pop songs with just punk rock guitars just changed the game. It was
If you were alive at that time, you loved all those bands. It's just how it was.
Absolutely. And you felt a bit tougher. I don't know. You felt a bit tougher listening to Sum 41 compared to like Newfound Glory. Like, even though they're essentially very similar, but you, like, you look at the film clip, like the cover of the album and all that kind of stuff. It's just like a bit tougher, a bit.
A bit more fun too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was just looking up in the background because I'm thinking, fuck, I know they're breaking up and just announced their last show was Jan next year. But
yeah.
Are they not coming to Australia?
They just played here, actually. Like,
they played with the Offspring, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was right. But, I mean, they might come to Oz again, but
surely, right?
At least for, like, at least three shows or four shows or something, right? Who knows?
Right, they can squeeze. They can squeeze in. They got money.
I feel like it's always crazy when they're like, "All right, we're breaking up. We're done for good." Like, see you in 10 years.
Yeah, it never happens.
Yeah, happens. I feel like I'd rather a band not officially. I mean, but to be fair, like a band like Title Fight, who have, like, they never said we're not a band anymore. Yeah, like, I don't know. Kind of leaves you hanging on.
Yeah, that's true.
They put up a post being like, "Hey, new merch is out now." And everyone's like, "Duh!"
Well, that's what happened.
They're playing shows, though, aren't they?
Are they?
No, it's Have Heart. So it's Have Heart.
Have Heart are back.
Have Heart, yeah.
It's like Modern Baseball did that. They just repressed their records for the anniversary of one of them. And I'm just like, "Can you come back, please?" Because I found them bands. Right before they left Australia. So I got to see them once, but...
Oh, the 2016 show in Melbourne.
Yeah, they play last because they're at Falls Festival, and then they, I think, played it.
Oh yeah,
Metro. No, sorry.
In Sydney. Sydney was Metro. I'm pretty sure. Luke went to that one. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of opposite. I feel like I like the definitive breakup because it means I can, like, let go and move on.
Yeah, true. I think
I'm happy that Blink did it because I'm like, oh, cool, definitive. I'll have a break.
Yeah.
And then when Tom left again, in my eyes, it was sort of another breakup. So I was like, oh, cool. I'll just jump back in.
Yeah,
it shows you which era you can listen to, especially with Blink.
Yeah,
in a way.
It's in three stages now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
Dave and I have discussed Blink at length. I like all the eras.
Yeah,
even the newer stuff before.
Yeah, dude. So it's it's fine. You can't. They're all great songwriters. So, like, you know, it's obviously It's just that they have, like, they put themselves, everyone's put them on a pedestal. So, like, everyone's expecting everything to be amazing. But,
yeah.
Just write a song. Songs are hard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Where are we at? I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's the last song? Sorry. It was,
Sum 41.
That's right. Yeah.
God, we are really getting off track. Sorry, team.
That's all right. It's been a big week. It's Monday, podcast, but still.
We're podcasting.
Yeah, that's it.
It's what we're here for, is for the chats.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think we've talked about the chats yet.
That's one that doesn't land.
Nah, yeah. Well, yeah.
The live one? Chan's live show, you just saw it.
This is good. This is good. We're actually, speaking of the shows, I mean, you've got Between You and Me, and there's some bigger rooms. Does the banter carry on to the bigger stages, or do you feel like sometimes you need to rein it in a bit? Or
no, unfortunately, so it does continue on. And
oh, thank goodness!
It's unfortunately, at the best of times, my words don't come out right. So if you really like seeing someone stumble through trying to say a sentence, then those rooms are going to be filled with it.
Yeah, sick.
And shouting as well. It's another one.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's Sydney
show. I always have to get Dan's in ear mix turned down heaps because. Like mid song, that it'll just be like, and you'll be like trying to sing, and then you're like hearing it in your ear. So like, I always look like the biggest like rude asshole in soundcheck when I'm like, oh, can I just get Dan's mic down?
Especially when it's like the on stage soundcheck.
It's just surprising. That's all. It's just like out of nowhere. It's just spontaneous yelling.
Sorry,
you're allowed to yell. I'm just turning it down. That's all.
It's like Dave and I recording sometimes. I'm sure he turns me down.
Oh, like heaps. Yeah. Heaps. I go up like 2 and Phil's down like 12.
That's real.
That's helpful.
It's fine. It works.
Yeah. Gets the job done, you know.
Cool. But anyways, yeah, that's kind of the end of the pod.
That's it. Oh, sorry. I think I was imagining we were playing the song and then ending the pod, but and then ending it after the song.
Yep, we play it. We play the last song last. So.
Oh, cool.
That makes so much sense. We're right here just going. Blah, 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 blah.
That's good.
You can do a better ending if you want something more definitive.
Was there anything you want to plug before we go?
Be nice to your friends and your family, I guess.
I just started rewatching Shameless.
Oh, nice.
That's not a plug, but it's a pretty good show.
I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's like
I tried.
Super depressing and a little bit funny.
All I know is it's
yeah.
That's pretty much, again, that's sort of how I describe our band as well, so.
Yeah, true. I'm going to plug the song 1 Week by Bare Naked Ladies. That's what I'm going to plug.
Oh, can I plug a song?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, no, Shameless is gone. Dan and I are going to see Five in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Don't Stop Moving. We're going to see it live and we're going to dance our little hearts out.
Are Five coming to Australia?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't even know.
I literally was talking in a group chat about Five like yesterday. That's Someone crazy. Didn't know who Five were and I'm like, how do you not know who Five are?
They are playing
a show. I thought they really snuck through the cracks for a lot of people somehow.
Oh, yeah.
God, they're good.
But I'm really excited to see Five sing We Will Rock You at Lion Arts Factory in Adelaide in 2 weeks. That's my plug.
That's it.
Wait, they're going to see We Will Rock You?
They did a cover of it. Have you not heard it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a good cover too.
Yeah.
I'm shamelessly going to admit that I heard that song before I heard the Queen version.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, I think that's completely fine. Yeah.
Dude, fair enough. Sign of the time.
I love a boy band or any kind of band from the 90s, and I shamelessly love pop music, so it's sick.
No, what's pop the what's amazing. That UK one you like, Aston? The fucking made a mess in my pants when I flew over France.
Oh, Busted.
Yeah.
Love Busted.
I just gotta say, we've got a mate who is a big fan of you guys, and he's gonna absolutely love the fact that you love Busted because he loves Busted.
Dude, I love Busted. So good.
Yeah.
Shout out Nick.
Shout out to Nick.
Let's plug Nick, everybody. Plug him.
Yeah, plug Nick.
He's gonna have a little moment when he hears that.
Yeah.
That's sick.
We'll clip it up and send it to him after this.
Yeah.
Well, no, thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it heaps.
No, thanks heaps for coming on, and I can't wait to see you in Sydney. Dave, you're going to go to Melbourne, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll try and make it.
I'll try. I feel like you've seen it before. You know what to
do. I'll get there early.
Yeah.
We'll hang out.
Line up with a sign.
Are you a drink?
All right. True. We'll see you then.
All right. See you, team. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya. Whoa, how about that drive in?
Are we still doing that, are we? No, great episode. Just such a great chat. Like, I love it. And especially at the end there, some of that banter, vinyl talk, just the best.
Yeah. I always love to hear our band's favorite or people's favorite albums. And for Aston to kind of pull out the records was great.
Yeah, I think it's the first time that we've actually been able to just actually, like, on camera, and I'm sorry everyone here, you can't see this, but we were pulling records out, talking about it. It was great fun. Yeah, just great fun. Great playlist. Playlist is fun. I think it makes sense why towns make such fun music when this is obviously what influences them. So, yeah, it's the best. I just love this. I love this chat. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it was really good. The last song is Sum 41. It's the Hell song. Enjoy that. It's an absolute cracker classic. Yeah. If you haven't heard it before, like, where you been? But
absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. As we mentioned last week in the episode, we are about to have a cheeky little break over Easter. So you'll probably hear from us in about 2 weeks' time. But for now, enjoy the Hell song by Sum 41, and we'll see you then.
Yep. Bye, T. Thanks, everyone. Too.
It's just a matter how you solve them. But what else are we supposed to do?